Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, December 13th, 2016. I am Jason Powell. On the site today, Will Pruitt's Pause review of WWE Raw, which includes a look at New Day, the bumpy road to them making history last night, going way back to when New Day was first formed. Also, the latest lineup for Sunday's WWE Roadblock End of the Line pay-per-view event. Ric Flair is appearing at Wing Bowl 25. And we also will get into which NHL player is not a fan of his own team's fans wooing. Plus, we'll have the WWE Raw viewership numbers available a little bit later today. Coming up after the break for non-members, we're going to be discussing tonight's WWE SmackDown and tonight's 205 Lies, among other things.
Total nonstop deletion.
WWE SmackDown Live tonight features AJ Styles facing James Ellsworth for the WWE Championship. Yes, we talked about this exact same match last week at this time, but that's because it was scheduled for last week's show. AJ Styles was sidelined by an ankle injury, so the match was pushed back to tonight. My guess continues to be that Ellsworth somehow ends up aligned with AJ Styles, so I don't think we're going to see a title change here, but I am mildly intrigued to see what they do. I think it's especially for a show where there's not a lot going on, there's not much to build to because they don't have a separate pay-per-view event until after the Royal Rumble. It's going to give them an interesting main event, even though as the one-time president of the James Ellsworth fan club, I'm kind of at the point where a little bit burned out, so let's get him turned heel officially, I think is what needs to happen, and that can breathe a little bit of life back into this, so curious to see where they go. Of course, you can join Jake Barnett for live coverage of SmackDown Live as the show airs on USA Network at 7 Central, 8 Eastern Time. If you're wondering why am I calling it 205 Lies, well, I think it's pretty obvious. It is not a live show this week. It was actually taped last night in Washington, D.C. prior to Raw. The main event will be Rich Swann against T.J. Perkins in a non-title match. Now, as much as I get a kick out of saying 205 Lies, and we may actually be able to do that someday if they ever decide to do what I think is probably the right move and move the show to being taped right before SmackDown rather than airing live when the live crowd is actually interested in seeing wrestling, even if it is cruiserweights that they don't really go to the show to see specifically. The reason they did this is that they taped it on Monday because the Tribute to the Troops special is going to be taped at tonight's SmackDown event, and so it's not a live show this week, certainly an understandable reason. I'm not going to give you any spoilers as far as the results of this, but the other matches taped at the show last night were Mustafa Ali against Lince Dorado and Jack Gallagher against Drew Gulak. And I honestly don't even know the spoilers of this, and I won't know unless someone decides to send in the results for the 205 Live show from Monday. But either way, not going to acknowledge them. You can join me tonight for my live review of the show as it streams on WWE Network at 9 Central, 10 Eastern. By the way, we are looking for correspondents for tonight's WWE SmackDown and WWE Tribute to the Troops show at in Washington, D.C. at Verizon Center. If you were going to that show, we'd certainly appreciate a little bit of help, especially with the Tribute to the Troops taping. If you are interested in helping us out, shoot me an email, dotnetjason@gmail.com, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Also tonight, another Troops special. It'll be Dwayne The Rock Johnson's Rock the Troops, airing on Spike TV at 8 Central. It's a two-hour show. It was filmed back in October. Just some of the celebrities listed for this thing, Kevin Hart, Jack Black, that's actually Tenacious D, his sidekick, will be joining him. As Jack Black is, you may know him from some kid movies or something, but Tenacious D is a pretty fun band. Nick Jonas, Flo Rida, Rob Riggle, and Leonard Skinner, the band. Oh, and Jeff Ross, the Roastmaster, is going to be there, and along with, I'm sure, a host of additional celebrities. This thing was filmed, I believe it was October 22nd. It was filmed in October at Joint Base Pearl Harbor, Hickam, Hawaii. And it was not without a little bit of controversy. Military members, the idea was that they were going to get free passes. In fact, up to 10 free passes to go to this thing. I think they were worried about attendance, and so they were just doing their best to fill this, and also, you know, nice gesture for the military. But military.com reported afterward that the producers were originally hoping for 25,000 fans, but they ended up having to kind of reconfigure things to accommodate 45,000 fans because the demand was so high. This wasn't enough. Unfortunately, this led to some long lines and a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, but certainly some military members being turned away at the door. Some of the quotes they had or from people who were turned away. One person wrote, "Waited for 4 hours in line in traffic only to get turned away." This was via Facebook. "I hope all the civilians enjoy the Rock the Troop show." Ouch. Another one, "Got in line at 4:20. Moved 10 feet in 15 minutes. We were just another four active duty members who didn't get to see the concert due to 3-hour-long lines. Thanks." Again, ouch. The producer of the show did issue an apology at the time, saying, "We were just blown away by the response, by the number of people that wanted to come to this." Casey Patterson is the producer's name. And he says, "We are so very sorry anyone got turned away." I mean, I guess it's obviously good news that there were that many people interested, but yeah, certainly unfortunate. I guess they just didn't feel like that many people were going to attend this, and they truly were overwhelmed by the number of people. I'm not sure what to make of the ridiculously long lines that they had. I mean, there's obviously going to be some, but it just sounds like this was, once they knew it was going to be at least 45,000 people, that they should have been able to get people in a timely manner, but no such luck. But anyway, their special airing tonight on Spike TV at 8 Central, 9 Eastern time. You may remember Spike TV from such things as TNA Impact Wrestling. I'm not a big Spike guy. I guess Bellator's on there. I'll watch that occasionally if there's a freak show match. And then I feel guilty about watching it, that one of those kind of things. Anyway, .NET members are listening to my full-length audio review of last night's WWE Raw, as well as the 50-minute edition of the Q&A audio show, in which I answer their pro wrestling questions to start, and then we have some fun on the back end with the non-wrestling questions, including what will likely be the end of the Walking Dead questions of the week, at least until February, with the show now having reached the mid-season finale. But the members will also be listening to my reviews of WWE SmackDown, 205 Live, TNA Impact Wrestling, and Zach Zimmerman's NXT review, Hayden Gleed's Ring of Honor television review, and of course on Sunday night, WWE Roadblock. Jake Burnett and I will get together and record after the show. That will be available exclusively for members. You can join us on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. Just go to the main page, look for the sign-up area. Once you're in there, you'll see those three different pricing options. Of course, $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month. You can save some money by going with our six-month or annual option. That annual option trims $2 off of your monthly membership price, bringing it down to an average of $5.50 per month. We got a lot of audio content available. It is the ad-free version of the site. Really proud of what we offer and would love for you to take advantage of it. Hey, ask somebody for it for Christmas. How's that? Or better yet, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Go ahead and buy it for someone for Christmas. Whatever works best for you, we would honestly love to have you. Give the .NET member side a chance if you have not done so already. And, of course, if you have any questions, hit me up at ProWrestlingNet. And now let's get into the WWE Raw hit list. As always, on Tuesdays, well, not always, once in a while there's a break from the format, but as I like to do on Tuesdays, I know it's a long-form article, and so I like to, for those who are just unable to commit to a long-term article on because they're at work, and maybe it's easier to listen to in podcast form, I give it to you here. If you've already heard it, that's cool. Listen to it again, or skip ahead, and you can listen to my Raw bonus thoughts. We'll start today with the WWE Raw hits. New Day against Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins against Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. The triple threat match for the tag titles that closed the show. The live crowd had seen all six wrestlers before the main event, so they were beyond flat during the opening minutes of the match. They came to life, though, at the Tower of Doom spot and were hot coming out of the commercial break and down the stretch. New Day getting the win and cementing their status as a record-breaking tag team was a solid hook throughout the show. The post-match angle with Reigns getting the better of Owens was hysterical for all the wrong reasons. The live crowd started booing when Reigns took his spot in the corner before spearing Owens. By the way, are they ever going to explain the relationship between Rollins and Reigns? It feels like they skipped a chapter. Are they on the same page? Did Rollins apologize? Are they just sort of tolerating one another? The next hit is Jack Gallagher interrupting Aria Davari and Lince Dorado's match. One of the highlights of the night was Gallagher living up to the Extraordinary Gentleman nickname by announcing his intention to interfere in the match. Gallagher continues to be the standout of the cruiserweight division. He's certainly not the flashiest cruiserweight, but everything from his look to his promos to his in-ring style make him stand out as unique. The next hit is Sami Zayn and Mick Foley. Was the quirky build-up to the Zayn and Braun Strowman rematch worth the payoff? It's certainly debatable, but the verbal exchanges between the duo were well done this week. We made it through last week's Raw without Mick Foley yelling, but he made up for that by yelling twice this week. Mick Foley teasing that he was trading Zayn to SmackDown for Eva Marie was laugh out loud funny. The 10-minute match stipulation between Zayn and Strowman is a nice idea, as Zayn essentially wins by surviving the time limit, yet Strowman wouldn't actually lose. I'll just add, as I did last night, the down part of this, the potential negative part, you may have to see Braun Strowman wrestle for 10 minutes. Good luck with that. The final hit is New Day against Sheamus and Cesaro, and also Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. Another triple threat. This was a good match. New Day winning the titles and seemingly tying the record to start the show felt a little odd just because of where it was placed on the show, but obviously they had a game plan. The backstage skit with Stephanie McMahon being upset by being sprayed with champagne, Kevin Owens lobbying her to make a second title match, and Foley adding Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns was all well done. Now we are into the misses section, and we will start with this being the Roadblock go-home show. WWE did a nice job of getting what they could out of New Day, attempting to tie the record set by Demolition. Unfortunately, it seemed to come at the expense of delivering strong final hype for the pay-per-view. The post-match angle with Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens just wasn't enough, and Chris Jericho might be more likable than Seth Rollins at this point. It was odd that Sasha Banks and Charlotte didn't appear in person when their match is the most appealing thing on the pay-per-view. Roadblock feels like a show that will be entertaining if you watch it, and is very missable at the same time. Rusev, Lana, and Big Cass is the next miss. Rusev and Lana swerve viewers by not showing pornographic footage of their sex lives. This was about as stunning as the Cleveland Browns losing a football game. By the way, congratulations on the one-year anniversary of the last time the Browns won a football game. I feel bad for those fans. Good fans. Anyway, WWE seemed to take a page out of their Roman Reigns playbook by having Rusev bore the crowd by rambling on in hopes that the babyface would get a positive reaction for ending the misery. It didn't work. The live crowd wanted Enzo Amore, and they had little interest in Big Cass and the odd delivery of his promo while his music played awkwardly in the background. The next miss is Bayley against Alicia Fox. Bayley continues to spin her wheels while Sasha Banks and Charlotte dominate the title matches. She hasn't even had a real program on the main roster. Bayley simply beats the likes of Fox and Dana Brooke while in a holding pattern. Why has Nia Jax disappeared from Raw again? On a positive note, at least they had Bayley leave the Bayley Bears backstage this week. The final miss is Brian Kendrick against TJ Perkins, and it's a minor miss just for a forgettable match that really failed to leave this viewer excited by their role in the triple threat match for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship at Roadblock. Kendrick and Perkins have had some good matches lately, but this was just an afterthought by the time the show was over. Now that we are through the WWE Raw hit list, let's get into a few bonus thoughts. New Day has tied the record. Believe it or not, though, still a chance they don't break the record. I doubt this is going to be an issue, but technically, they could drop the tag titles on the Tribute to the Troops tapings tonight, because it does look like Raw wrestlers will be involved in that, and then they would merely tie Demolition for the all-time record. I'm not going to get into, well, at such and such time. Somebody out there will. They'll know exactly the time that Demolition lost the titles and compare that to New Day, and it'll come down to the final hours or minutes and maybe even seconds. Who knows? It would obviously be a shocker if they dropped the titles on Tuesday night. I mean, I don't think they're going to be tag champions much longer. I feel like, as I said yesterday, they just kind of limped to the finish line on this. But nothing major seems to happen on a Tribute to the Troops show. And the baby faces almost always seem to win big. So you might get a heel win or something like that. I don't think they're going to have New Day drop the titles on this feel-good special. I am back now to begging WWE to let the Cruiserweight heel speak in front of the live crowd. We did get to hear Jack Gallagher last night. That was nice. He's a babyface, though. It's not that they have many Cruiserweight heels. I think Brian Kendrick spoke once, and I praise them for it. But, you know, the fans know he's a heel, but they just don't seem to care about the majority of the Cruiserweight matches at this point. And WWE clearly knows this, based on what Will Pruitt wrote in his Pause review on the show. As some of you may have noticed, Will each week notes that he watches the 90-minute Hulu version of the show. Hulu Plus, I think it is. And so he doesn't see the full show. It basically helps him maintain sanity, and so good for Will for that. But, they cut both Cruiserweight matches from the Hulu version of the show. So WWE knows this isn't really clicking, but they don't really do anything to try to counter that. It's very slow, and I would even argue not so steady build as far as the division is concerned. But they will have the Cruiserweights do things backstage. Those obviously aren't all that effective. So I just say give the heels a mic, Let them generate heat with the live crowd going into the matches, just to generate, just to create some sort of atmosphere. That's really lacking from both what we see on Raw and on 205 Live. I don't even care if it's just generic hate on the local sports team heat. I know some will, and you know it only works that I don't just give me a. I'll take the trade off. Give me a damn atmosphere, a positive atmosphere, one where it seems like the fans are actually invested. And if that's, you know, if WWE wants to be lazy about it, and that's the approach they're going to take, honestly, I mean, I wish they'd do more, but I would settle for that right now, just to get some sort of a vibe going, rather than just two guys out there working hard while the crowd just sits on their hands, or occasionally reacting to high spots. Emelina is back to premiering soon. She was advertised for last night's Raw. She did not appear. And they did another Emma, like, photo montage kind of a deal. And her graphic reverted to premiering soon, as far as the label is concerned. Corey Graves did tell viewers after this aired that she will show up when she's ready. I don't, did WWE have a change of heart? Did they decide, well, let's do this at the pay-per-view, or let's do this? It seemed odd to do it on the go-home show, unless they were going to have her do something at the pay-per-view. So maybe they just decided, let's wait until next week, coming out of the pay-per-view. I don't know, but it's very strange. It's just, I was actually looking forward to this more than New Day, at least with the original Triple Threat. I'm just out of curiosity. Not that I'm on pins and needles, but at the same time, they've been building this up long enough. It's like, all right, let's see what you got. My final bonus thought on the day, really, I guess it's not so much Raw, but it's just, I question whether there's a reason to be fired up about the Roadblock show. I didn't feel like WWE really gave us one on Raw. You know, I just don't care about Roman Reigns attempting to win two titles, and I think the majority of fans feel the same way. I think Chris Jericho is likable, and I don't really care about Seth Rollins. His oddball plan to get Triple H back in the ring, he has to take out Chris Jericho so that he can get a fair match with Kevin Owens, then try to win the championship. But he doesn't seem to mind that his buddy Roman Reigns is trying to win that championship now. So that begs the question, if Roman wins it, are Seth and Roman tight enough where then he'll just give up his pursuit of Triple H, or will he actually go after Reigns to get the title to then get to Triple H? It's a mess. I don't care about that right now. Doesn't mean they won't have a good match, just means I don't care about the storyline. I guess the only thing that really grabs me about this entire show is Sasha and Charlotte in the 30-minute Iron Man match. Again, their label, not mine. But I do kind of feel like this match is going to end in a tie, because then they can have another match. You know, they're billing this as being the last match between the two again, and that they've even gone so far as to say there's not a rematch clause. So even if Charlotte were to regain her championship, Sasha wouldn't get a rematch. There's no automatic rematch clause. But, I mean, do you really think this is the end of the road for these two? It could be, but WWE does such a poor job with their stipulations that I just don't think very many people are taking them seriously at this point. There's no reason to. And so, I do fear, like, this is their way around it. Oh, well, we'll have them tie. Wouldn't you just have overtime? But who knows? The one thing I continue to say about the Universal Championship match with Owens and Reigns is that I do believe the atmosphere, as I was talking about for the Cruiserweight division, in this case, I think it's going to be good. Because if you're going to the show, you know, you probably got your tickets knowing that it was a pay-per-view event, not knowing what the main event was going to be. And so you're there. And you're going to, if you like Reigns, you're going to cheer for him. If you don't like Reigns, it's your main event, most likely, and you're going to boo like mad because you really don't want this man to end up with two championships. So I do think that the Reigns haters will be more vocal than they have been lately. It's one thing when he's defending the U.S. title. I think they've just kind of resigned. It's like, all right, whatever. At least it's the U.S. title. At least it's not the world title. Keep him out of that. We're fine. Now that they have him here, I do think those fans will be loud. The problem, though, is that I think this is going to convince Vince McMahon that he's getting that John Cena reaction from Reigns. And in fairness, in the building, it may be similar to that John Cena type of reaction, but I just don't think that type of passion is going to exist for the fans watching at home. But I don't think Vince cares. He may know it deep down, but I just think he's so all in on Roman Reigns right now. Still, after the fans just repeatedly telling him, don't do this, I think he's still all in. I just don't see it changing. Finally today, please remember to subscribe to our daily podcast. Take a moment, rate and review us on iTunes. It is very helpful when you do that. You are helping spread the word about this podcast, just as you are when I put the link out there on Twitter, when you give it a simple retweet. A big thanks to everyone who has already done one or more of those things. I'm going to be back tomorrow with a special guest. Until then, thanks for listening.
Total nonstop deletion.